Hello, fellow Rebel Capitalists. Hope you are well. I wanted to go over some research I've done on the jobs data over the weekend. And if you listen to the last video I did on this, I believe Friday, I was really trying to parse through the idea, or really trying to reconcile, maybe a better way of saying it, the data that we've got two negative quarters of real GDP, while at the same time, if you're watching the mainstream media, they're saying that the jobs numbers are just incredible. We've never seen a jobs market like this. Therefore, the economy must be booming. We must be going through this economic boom. In fact, let's go to this story from Yahoo real quick to set up the rest of the video. They said, astonishing labor market recovery from the pandemic is complete. Astonishing or astounding. Excuse me. I get the economy's booming so much, I'm getting overly excited. But as you guys know, the economy added 528,000 jobs, and they're just, the mainstream media is just freaking out over this. They cannot contain their enthusiasm. One thing I wanted to point out is this chart, the job market recovery, quote unquote, after the pandemic reduced, I think they're meant to say induced, recession in 2020. And again, it wasn't the pandemic, it was the government's response to the pandemic, has been remarkably rapid compared to other notable recoveries in recent history. So the first thing they do in the article is point out the time that it took. So this chart shows change since peak employment, and it gives you a timeline, so in months. So we are now officially back up to the same number of jobs we had in 2019 prior to the cerveza sickness, and it only took, what are we here, 30 months. And they're saying that's the second fastest on record, or at least going back to 1981. That was the fastest, but that recession was nowhere as significant. And they compare it to the GFC, where it went down at its maximum by 6.29%. And it went back up, or it got back up to its prior high 10 years later. So it took over 77 months for the GFC, for the jobs market to quote unquote recover. And during the cerveza sickness, again, it only took 30 months. So they're saying that this means the economy is incredibly strong. But let's think through the difference of the cerveza sickness compared to the GFC. I mean, you guys, I'm sure, remember how many stimmy checks went out during the GFC? Ah, that's right. Well, one did. I remember that. I think Bush sent out like a $500 stimmy check. But what else? I mean, we didn't lock everyone in a cage. Okay, well, that's one difference. People's checking account balances didn't go up by 150%, that's for sure. So when you combine the mortgage moratorium, the student loan forbearance, whatever you want to call it, or the rent moratorium, I can't remember all the terms they use, but whether it was a forbearance, a moratorium, or just putting your payments on hold, they didn't do that during the GFC. You had to bite the bullet. And if you went bust, if you lost your savings, it was just, that's the way the market works. And there wasn't the thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars in stimmy checks. There wasn't the increase in unemployment to a level that was triple your income. So I don't know that I would sit here and argue the reason we've had such a quick recovery is because the market or the economy is so strong. No, it's because the government gave out quote unquote free money. And we're going to have to pay the price for that, which we are paying through the rate of inflation. So you can sit there and say, okay, we want the economy to recover in 30 months. Okay, fine. But are you willing to pay 10% inflation to get there? So that's your choice. So are people better off now than they were during the GFC? I think that's a debatable question. I mean, are people better off now that the jobs market has quote unquote recovered with inflation at, let's say, 10%, than they were at the depths of the GFC, let's say in 2009, 2010, where the unemployment rate was far higher the, I don't know what the labor force participation, I'm sure that was probably better, but the jobs market wasn't booming, but yet we didn't have 10% inflation. We had 1% inflation, 1.5% inflation as measured by the government. Where was the poor and middle class as a whole better off? I would argue during the GFC. But my point here is it's not this red line that you see going parabolic in a recovery. This isn't due to the economy. This is just due to the government handing out stimmy checks for the most part. I mean, and they were trying to spin it as though we're somehow far more productive. No, not at all. And as you guys know, there's no free lunch. And so we're probably, or we're definitely going to have to pay the price for the sins that were committed over the past 2 years for the next 2 years, if not even longer. Now let's move on here and try to address this topic of, could the government just flat out be lying about the jobs numbers? And to think this through, I kind of went back and tried to find some stories throughout history where this might have been applicable. And after about a half hour of digging, I found Germany in the 1930s. Now, I can't say the group that was in charge here. You guys know what I'm talking about. We have to keep it YouTube friendly. And if unfortunately, in today's world, as grown adults, we're not allowed to say certain words like a kid where you have to like spell out the four-letter word. That's how our social media mandarins are cheating us or are treating us today. You know, just like the kids that you have to spell out S-H-I-T. We have to spell out N-A-Z-I. Or just kind of give you the 1930s Germany. Wink, wink. All right, but I don't want to go too far off on a tangent. Let's look at what they did with their jobs numbers, which I didn't know that this was a thing, and it absolutely was, because part of their economic miracle is what they called it. They wanted to create an economic miracle, and when a certain individual took power in 33, unemployment was very high, and they wanted to almost... Their objective was to eradicate unemployment by 1939, or to the degree to which they could. So what this article points out is the unemployment numbers. So in 33, there were 6 million Germans unemployed, and that number dwindled to 302,000 in 1939. So they could come out and say, hey, look, it's an economic miracle. And I'm sure many people in the Western media and whatnot were saying how this is completely miraculous. And, oh my gosh, this fascism, this economic fascism thing, and the government and central planning, well, this is fantastic. The United States isn't reducing unemployment at this rate. You know, we're living through the Great Depression. Maybe we should try ourselves some dictatorship and economic fascism. And I say that jokingly. But you guys know darn well that if we did even more research, that you could find articles in Time magazine or, you know, some of these progressive magazines of the time and today that probably argued this, just like they argued how communist Russia was an economic miracle. But then the article goes on to say that in hindsight, we could tell that it wasn't necessarily an economic miracle, but it was more so kind of maybe a little bit of that, but the majority of this decline in unemployment was a result of just fiddling with the numbers. As an example, women were no longer included in the statistics. So any women who remained out of the workforce under Nazi rule did not exist as far as the statistics were concerned. And you could see how the government would just explain that away. Well, of course, why would we include women? Because now the economy is booming to such a significant degree that women don't even have to work. They can just stay at home and watch the kids. You know, it reminds me of when the unemployment rate was going, or what was that, where the Democrats came out, I can't remember exactly when it was, but the unemployment rate was sky high or something like that. And they are arguing how that was actually beneficial because then people could pursue their real passion and start their own business. They wouldn't be held hostage by a job. It's always this crazy government spin. But another thing they did is in Germany, the unemployed were given a simple choice. Do whatever work is given to you by the government. Well, it sounds very similar to a jobs guarantee program, doesn't it? Where have we heard this before? Or you'd just be put in a concentration camp. So I guess work for the government. And what did they do? Throughout the article, they basically had them doing jobs like digging ditches, planting trees, rejuvenating forests and things that built the Autobahn as well. Kind of fun fact. So they're doing these things that were they kind of worthwhile? Maybe. Were they worth the doubling of government spending? Probably not when you look at the cost benefit analysis. So Jews lost their citizenship in 1935. So obviously we can't include non-citizens in the unemployment number. So basically you eliminate women, you eliminate Jews, you put a gun to someone's head and say, either you work or you go into a concentration camp. And magically the unemployment number goes down. We're not done yet. And many of the young men were taken off unemployment because they went into the military. There we go. So if you take your military from 400,000 to 1.4 million, that's another way to eliminate or reduce the unemployment rate. And then if you said anything about it, then you were put in the Gestapo, which is the direction that we're going today with misinformation and disinformation. So if you say that we're in a recession, how dare you? That is misinformation, and the government is going to change the definition of what it truly means to be in a recession. And we are not in a recession until we say we are in a recession. Obviously, they're not putting us in a Gestapo as of yet, but definitely trying to do that with an online version of putting you on a timeout during the cerveza sickness. And like I said, I think in the future we'll see the same thing, but instead of, we'll call it health disinformation, it'll be economic disinformation. We've talked about that on many videos on this channel. So this is just an example of kind of shenanigans that governments have employed, no pun intended, in the past to reduce the unemployment rate. So is the United States doing this to a certain degree today? Maybe, maybe not. But let me argue for how we could reconcile the jobs numbers with the yield curve, with the negative GDP prints, with the another thing that went up significantly here that I wrote down was the unemployment benefits or the requests for unemployment. That skyrocketed as well. So you've got all of these things that are the unemployment claims. That's what I was looking for. Just saw it here in my notes. So you've got all these things that would suggest we are in or headed for a recession, and then you have this one outlier. So how could we maybe reconcile that one outlier with what the rest of the data are saying? Could there be an explanation other than the government in the United States is taking the same approach as the government did in Germany in the 1930s? Hey guys, I want to remind you to check out Rebel Capitalist Pro. This is the incredible online investment forum that I have with investment experts Lynn Alden and Chris McIntosh. It includes professionals such as Patrick Serezna from Macro Voices. He specializes in options. Tony Greer, commodity trading. Jason Hartman, real estate. And Brent Johnson with macro economics. If you want to build wealth and thrive in this world of out of control central banks and big governments, Rebel Capitalist Pro is the resource you need. So check it out today at georgegammon.com/pro. That's georgegammon.com/pro. We'll see you inside with the fellow Rebel Capitalists that are taking their investing to the next level. So first thing I want to show you is, and Snyder's been talking about this, so got to give a hat tip to him. The way they come up with this headline jobs number is twofold. There's two surveys that go into this. Number one is called the establishment survey. Number two is the household survey. The establishment survey is really when they are just questioning and polling certain businesses and government entities, saying how many people are on your payroll as of right now. Pretty broad question. And there's a few more questions. And then the household survey is more based on the individual. They're different. Now, ironically enough, the household survey is what is used to determine the headline unemployment number, U3. But when you look at the differences between the two, it starts to potentially explain how we could have this divergence from what we're seeing on this side with the data, looking at the yield curve, GDP, the unemployment claims, compared to over here with explosive, absurd, what's the title they used? Astonishing, I'm sorry, astonishing job growth, astonishing job growth. And maybe it could be explained by the difference between the two surveys, because just to be clear, the headline number they use is the establishment survey. But look at this chart of the establishment survey compared to the household survey from March of 2022. We see this massive delta starting to form, where the establishment survey shows jobs are going up, 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 and up, where, or I should say job creation, where the household survey is showing that it's flatlining. This household survey would be consistent with everything that we talked about over here, the yield curve, negative GDP, unemployment claims, etc. So let's now look at the difference that could explain why we see such a divergence in that chart. So one thing I'd like to point out, and this is a disentangling the jobs report. Now, this is going back to 2019, which is another interesting bit of information from the standpoint of this was the last time when we saw a massive divergence to the point where the household survey actually went negative while the establishment survey was continuing to go up. And this author, Jeffrey Stupak, is, I know he's an economist. Sorry, Jeffrey, don't know your exact title here. Analyst in macroeconomic policy. I'm not sure where. Okay. But he points out that one of the main reasons we could have this difference is because let me find it here so I can highlight it for you. The establishment survey basically double counts jobs, where the household survey, if one person has two jobs, it's still only listed as one person working. Where I maybe said a better way, if one person has two jobs, the establishment survey counts that as two actual people working when it's actually just one person with two jobs. So let's see. Well, actually, let's go to, yeah, it was here in this. Well, I'm not going to take the time to find the exact point where it describes this phenomenon. But that's the bottom line, is you get a double counting with job, or you can have a double counting in jobs from the establishment survey, because it's just a grand total instead of how many people are actually working. So this could, so how would this play out in the real world? Well, you'd have a situation where there are fewer full-time jobs. So you've got 100, let's just say 10 full-time jobs that are eliminated, right? Those people are fired. And then they replace those 10 full-time jobs with 14 part-time jobs. Okay, well, this would be a way where on net balance, the job market is less dynamic, and it's less, it's producing less with the 14 part-time jobs than the 10 full-time jobs. But you would have the report show an explosion of growth. So I'm not saying this is definitively the discrepancy or how we reconcile without just attributing it to government malfeasance, but it is something that I think is definitely significant. And it could explain why we're seeing a chart that looks like this. And then, it could explain why this green line may be the outlier. Let's see, disentangling jobs. Now let's go over to GDP. And I wanted to just kind of outline some idiosyncrasies with the numbers here, because I'm not sure most people are aware of the fact when you get a negative quarter in GDP, they're not saying specifically this quarter was a negative print. They're annualizing a number. So they're saying that if this, I believe they're taking it back the prior three quarters, including the current quarter, and then they're coming up with a total annual rate versus just that specific quarter. Let me give you the numbers and it'll make more sense here. I don't think I'm describing it well. So in the last quarter, real GDP decreased 0.9% at an annual rate, but the quarterly rate was negative 0.2. Where the second quarter or the first quarter, the decrease was 1.6 on an annual rate, but 0.4% on a quarterly rate. So I don't know that that's going to help us really explain the divergence in the outlier of the jobs report, but I thought that was interesting, and I thought it was definitely something that I wanted to share with you guys just for future reference. So I think the main takeaway is when we're looking at the jobs numbers, I don't want to fall prey to trying to cherry pick data to fit my specific belief system or my base case, right? Because my base case, it might not be that we're in a recession now. I definitely don't think the economy is booming. That's for sure. I think that there's a good chance we're in a recession, as indicated by all of these things over on my right that we talked about earlier. And even if we're not in one now, I think we're headed there in the next couple quarters, maybe the first quarter or so of 2023. But I don't want to just cherry pick data to fit that narrative. That's the opposite of what I want to do. I want to try to poke holes in it. And the only thing that I can find to poke holes in the narrative is just the unemployment rate or these the jobs report that we found, or that was delivered last week. So, but then in going through that, when you get into the nuance, that's where you start to find problems that bring me personally back to this base case as far as being the highest probable outcome in my mind. So is the government outright lying? Maybe, but I think there's other ways to explain the discrepancy that would just that would eliminate malicious intent. there's other ways to explain it that less or far more accurate. I don't know. I'll let you be the judge. Maybe you come to the conclusion that government lying is probably the most realistic explanation. But there's other things out there in the data and the way the data is collected that would also make a lot of sense. All right, guys, enjoy the rest of your afternoon. As always, make sure that you're standing up for freedom, liberty, free market capitalism. We'll see you in the next video.